This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up and down these Michigan roads, yeah.
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Well, thank you so much, Parker. I'm your host, Jim Irvin, and this is Time Signatures. I'm pleased and honored to welcome an artist Living Blues Magazine called one of the most dynamic, talented, and exciting roots rock and blues women on the scene. She has a growing fan base around the world. She's an award-winning singer, guitarist, producer, and songwriter who has been compared to other guitar blues women like Memphis Minnie and Bonnie Raitt. She is celebrating her new album, Let the Mermaids Flirt with Me, a tribute to John Hurt, and recently completed a tour which consisted of stops across the United States and also the UK and the Isle of Man during October and November. She is a Boston Music Award winner, a five-time BMA nominee, and a New England Music Award winner as well. Oh, and she's also a semifinalist at the International Blues Challenge. Now, look, I could keep going here, but I'd rather get the stories directly from this woman of the blues, Erin Harp. Erin, it's a pleasure, and welcome to Time Signatures. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me, Irv.
Pleasure to have you. And listen, we have to start somewhere. Every story has to have a beginning. So where does your musical story begin, so to speak?
Well, I guess it would have to begin with my dad. When I was a kid, my dad play, and he still does, he plays this country blues, fingerstyle, pre-war vintage blues, and he's also really into old vintage guitars, and he wrote a book about the Stella guitars, and I have one back here, actually, so I kind of inherited that love of the old roots of the blues, and also the old guitars.
I guess it would be difficult not to have a passion for the music, especially if you're being exposed to those guitars on that level. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at first I used to, I guess I kind of called it my rebelling against, you know, you can't always just like what your parents like. So when I was a kid, I learned how to play the classical flute first before I ended up learning a few songs from my dad. But eventually I realized it was just in me, you know.
Now, what about your exposure to the Piedmont blues? Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, interesting. It's definitely the Piedmont blues is the way that I play. It's with the alternating thumb and also playing out the melody with your other fingers when you're playing the guitar. When I was a kid, I'm not even sure if the term Piedmont existed. You know, it was invented by an ethnomusicologist at some point, but it is the style that everybody played in Washington, D.C. So there's a great acoustic blues scene around Washington, D.C., and some of the people that I grew up getting to see play are like Cephas and Wiggins and John Jackson. There's a great scene for my dad. His name is Neil Harp. He had a group, Franklin Harp and Esselton. And he played with Eleanor Ellis, this amazing talent from Louisiana. I didn't know it was called Piedmont Blues until later. But to me, Mississippi John Hurt, who I have a lot of influence in my playing from him, even though he's from Mississippi, he plays the similar style to Piedmont Blues.
Okay.
And that's just an upbeat, fun, like party music. You know, most of the songs are upbeat and danceable, and you know, that's just the way that back in the 30s, when there was no, well, you could listen to a record, I guess, but you couldn't listen to music the way you can now. So people would just go dance to somebody playing guitar and singing and stomping their feet. That's what I like to do.
Very nice. Now, at what age were you when you picked up your first guitar?
I definitely picked up guitars when I was younger. And I knew just a few chords that I was probably 10 or 12 when I first started doing that. But I really started getting serious in 12th grade, I guess.
All right. Now, I have to hear the story about that boy you had a crush on and the style you learned in order to win his affection. Can you tell me that story?
That's true. That was the catalyst for switching from the flute to the guitar.
Okay.
There was a boy that I had a crush on, and in high school, you don't really have different kinds of students, but he was really into acting already. One time he told me, I know all the words to Alice's Restaurant. And I said immediately that rung a bell. My dad knows how to play that. Started screaming like, ooh, I got to go home. Hey, Dad, I need to learn this song. And it was like right, we were going to perform it. I already said, oh, yeah, I'm going to learn. I'll play that for you. And it turned out I really needed to learn it in about 2 weeks. So I picked it up really quick. And after the end of the year, the guitar became my true love, even though I won his heart, but, you know, we went to different colleges and sort of parted ways. But I kept the love of playing guitar.
Now, at what point in your journey did you realize that the life of a musician was going to be in the cards for you, Erin?
Oh, I don't know if I ever realized it, but I moved to Boston and I met Jim, who's my husband and bass player. And sort of as soon as he met me and realized that I played guitar, and his band had just ended, we started a band together and started touring around on the weekends. And I guess we really like it. It works for us. It's a lot of work and it's, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs, but I just love driving around, playing music for people, meeting different people. I'm also a graphic designer, so I do all the design of our albums and merchandise.
Oh, very nice.
I like all the things involved. You know, some people don't like driving. Some people don't like being on planes and being on the road. I really like it. Even though nowadays I kind of like being home in between too, but we've been trying to expand our touring into Europe. And I always just love going to new places and meeting, especially music fans.
I have to step back for just a moment and ask you about the album that you created with your father. It's called Delta Blues Duets. And of course, it was you and your dad, Neil Harp. How cool was that opportunity for you to record with your father?
Oh, it was great. I mean, actually, there's another album that is not out because I put it out on tape, believe it or not, when I was really young in high school. And so we had done that recording and actually thought about releasing it someday just so people could hear what I sounded like, you know, in the very beginning. I had won some studio time. I got an award of, I can't remember what award it was, but one of the things that I won was a free day in a recording studio. I think it was one day or...
Okay.
Yeah, one day. And so my dad actually doesn't live in Boston where I live. He lives in Maryland. So he happened to be visiting and I said, well, you know, what I could do with one day in a studio would be just, we'll go in and we'll just play the songs that we've always played. So that's what we did. And need to really rehearse or anything because we've been playing them all my life.
Yeah, sure. So it was a great little keepsake along the way as well. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. And I love listening to it. It just, you know, I don't get to play with him as often because I have to drive 10 hours to go see him.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll have you know, I found a copy online. I've ordered it. I can't wait till it gets here. It's just one of the ways I try to support the musicians is to find copies of their music and pick them up. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm very much about, you know, family and different things. So it'll be a lot of fun to listen to it.
When you're singing and you're doing like harmonies, singing and playing it, there's no one better to play with than family because, you know, you'd know the ins and outs and our voices really, you know, mesh together. And he's the one that taught me all this stuff. So
now, as we mentioned in the introduction a little bit ago, your style lends itself to blues women like Memphis Minnie and Bonnie Raitt. But make no mistake, you really do have a sound that's truly your own, don't you?
Thank you. I try to. I mean, I don't know. I do try to. I like that in other artists. I like when an artist, for instance, takes a song that you know, and then they play it in a way that is just not like the original. You know, like I don't try to play like sing like Bonnie Raitt because nobody can do that. So
right.
I decided I would just sing it like me. And it's been, I just keep, feel like every album I do, I feel like I learned something and I play better and sing better.
Well, it's interesting that you draw that comparison between you and Bonnie. Midwest Record proclaimed that you're like Bonnie Raitt on performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, talk about raising the bar, girl. How does it make you feel when those comparisons come along, though? That's got to feel good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it feels good. I think what they're trying to say is that, you know, I play guitar and it's, you don't see people playing, especially this country blues guitar. There's a few ladies out there doing it and some, even some young ones, the two, which I'm excited about, but it's usually a boys club. So I think that reason, and also because I probably play quite a few Bonnie Raitt songs or songs that she also played. So I think that's where the comparison comes from. Not that I sound like her, but similar influences.
Sure. And listen, this is not a boys club. Okay. All I got to say is you go, girl, you keep going. One of the things that I'm very proud that I do is I support the women in blues. I'm very thankful for Michelle Seidman, who I worked with her for about the last 8 months. And I told her, I said, I'm going to commit to making as much as I can, try to bring as many women of the blues on my program as possible. And not just as a way to curry favor. It's because I believe that everybody, every musician has something to offer to the genre. And I got to be honest with you. I mean, you start talking about Ruthie Foster, hello, Grammy winner, you know, and it's just, to me, it's a lot of fun to get a perspective from the female side and get their input and their take a little bit. Now, in 2010, you formed the band Aaron Harp and the Delta Swingers. And in that first year, you won the International Blues Challenge. Now, while you were in town, you were invited to play. I'm sorry?
We won the Boston Blues Challenge.
My apologies. My apologies. You were,
I wish we had done that. That would be.
You were a semifinalist. My apologies.
Yes, which was very exciting.
But while you were in Memphis, you were invited to play the prestigious Viztone Showcase at the Rum Boogie Cafe. What happened next?
Well, you know, we had a little bit of an in there because Richard Rosenblatt was our harmonica player when we started out the band. So we got special privileges to play during the showcase. And then fast forward to 2014, our first album came out and it was on Viztone.
Okay.
It was very exciting. I mean, we got to meet all these different, I just can't tell you how many great performers I met starting that night, but you know, every year we've been down to the IBC six times because you can do it three times as a band and three times as a solo duo. So I've done that.
Wow. That's amazing. Now I'm going to go back to this because there's a specific story that I'd like you to share. You had an unfortunate event with one of your guitars.
So there it is. It's the first year. Well, there's some backstory. Like when we first started the band, I was really going for something like my dad's band. So I was playing acoustic guitar, sitting down, and everybody was sitting down playing. I think Rosie was standing up playing harmonica, but right before the International Blues Challenge, I decided, well, maybe it would be more exciting if we stood. We should stand up. So maybe it wasn't the best decision because it's not what we're used to, but we were going to play two songs, I think it was, at the Viztone Showcase. And it was like, okay, here you go. Here's your chance. So we're up there. I've got my acoustic Tacoma guitar. And we used to start out the set. Rosie would play a harmonica solo and I would do this little dancing around the stage, get people going. So I was doing that, but I had my guitar just sort of leaning, which you should never do. And somehow I kicked it over and it fell and I picked it up and I went, oh no, the neck is not supposed to move like that. So there's no time to get upset about breaking my guitar. I was just like, oh no, what am I gonna do? And Bob Margolin's walking towards me with his gold top Gibson and, you know, putting it over my shoulder, kind of like almost anointing me, like, now you will play electric guitar.
Wow.
And start through my head, I'm going, can I play fingerstyle blues on electric? I mean, I hadn't ever really tried it back then. I did play electric, but it was with my rock band, Love Whip. That's another story. But yeah, it rang out, and I loved the way it sounded playing the fingerstyle on the Gibson. So
this was, he loaned it to you. He did not give you the guitar, correct?
No. I mean, no.
Well, how did it sound when you were doing the fingerstyle? How'd it go?
As far as I remember, it sounded really good. I mean, it was kind of like, wow, now I can hear my guitar.
Wow.
So it was really cool. We had done the whole competition with the acoustic, but there I was playing electric the night after I think later that night we found out we hadn't moved on to the finals, we were a new band already.
Yeah.
It was like, give us another chance. No.
Well, I have to ask you, Aaron, how did that moment, as bad as it was, because you broke your guitar, but how did that moment shape the future of your band?
It shaped it 100%. I mean, I think every time I've gone to the IBCs, it's given me something to work towards, or, mm-hmm. you know, change something a little bit and tweak it and get better, better, better. So I really, that was probably the first thing that happened in the direction of like getting to where we are now.
Now, in addition to the many hats you wear as a singer, songwriter, producer, you're also a highly regarded fingerstyle acoustic blues guitar player and teacher. Would you say this is your biggest opportunity to help pass your passion on for the blues to the younger students?
I would say that. I mean, I've given a lot of workshops and I've taught at some blues camps, but when that week or day is over, it's just over. So,
all right, Aaron, it's time to talk about the new album, Let the Mermaids Flirt With Me, which is a tribute to Mississippi John Hurt. You call this the first, according to your notes that you provided here, the first in a series of tribute albums. And I'd love to hear a little bit about that. Fill in the blanks for me and let's hear about the album.
All right. Well, I mean, like I said, my dad played a lot of Mississippi John Hurt. He taught it to me. Really, I think Mississippi John Hurt is a great place to start if you want to do fingerstyle blues, or especially Piedmont. So a couple of years ago, I was asked to play a fundraiser for the Mississippi John Hurt Foundation.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was really cool. It was at Cafe Lena, if you know where that is, in Saratoga Springs, New York. It's a famous folk venue. You know, Bob Dylan played there. You know, Mississippi John Hurt might have played there, actually. I have to find that out. So we did 3 or 4 acts, and we were all doing the songs of Mississippi John Hurt. And I already knew some of them, but when we were trying to make up our set list, I started collecting all my favorite songs, and they were like more than I was allowed to play for that show. So I thought, well, I got to do an album. I got to do an album now, because I have so many of them that I remember and that I love and that I want to learn. And so my first step is collecting a whole bunch of songs, and then I kind of try to play them and whittle them down. Then I whittled them down to 8 or 10 songs and started figuring out, like I said, I don't like to just play it the way it is on the album. Also, early on, I thought about this idea of having tablature, because I thought, kill two birds with one stone. Like,
sure.
People are going to love this album, and then all the guitar players are going to be coming to me like, how do you play that? How do you play that? So if I already had a book of tablature, then people could just go right into learning them. But I played pretty much the way Mississippi John Hurt played, but I would switch around the intros or make a different introduction, or sometimes there's two versions that Mississippi John Hurt recorded way back in the 30s, and then he went and was in obscurity for a long time, and he, you know, had a job, and then he was rediscovered, and then he came back and played again, and some of the songs changed. And so I would be listening to one version saying, wait a minute, I thought my dad played a little something different. And then I would look, oh, that's what he used to play, that more simply. And then he added this new part, like the song Candyman, which is the first single that's coming out. I just am really proud of that, because I I kind of put the two versions together and I really like it.
Well, and something that I noticed is that this particular album is a departure from what I heard in your other work. Very different. You said that it feels like you're right there listening to us play for you on the front porch, and that's kind of the style that I got from that album. It was a little more folksy, a little more down to earth. Would you say
Okay.
that this album lends itself to a natural progression of your music and your maturity?
A natural progression, as well as hearkening back to everybody that influenced me on the old records and listening to my dad as a kid. You know, I just love that feeling of just being there rather than such a, you know, perfection of a studio recording. And it was just me and my husband Jim playing, so it's just easy to just play it all at the same time. I do think that it's both easier and harder to do it that way because you have to get the whole take and you have to really know the songs through and through. Whereas sometimes when I'm putting together a song, when I'm writing or you know, did a Christmas album, and I would kind of, it was almost more like painting. It's like, oh, here's a little bit here, and then, oh, let me add this. But this was like, let's just do it. And I found that not overdubbing my vocals really gave the vocals more, and the guitar playing, it got me, I was able to get into it more playing it that
Very
way.
cool. Very cool. And it's interesting. I spoke with GA20 recently, and that was one of the things that Matt Stubbs talked about when they're doing the recordings in the room together, because they're
Oh,
doing
yeah.
that old school recording style that if you mess up, you got to go back and do the whole thing over again. So, but I would assume that because of your work that you had done with your father, recording with him, that that probably helped you along recording this album, correct?
Yeah, I mean that's the way we did all the albums, the two albums we did two albums together, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, and it was a whole, you know, as I was doing albums when I was younger, and I would be sitting behind the engineer going like, "Oh, do this, do that." That's why I sort of became a producer, because I always had that producer mindset, and I was like, I know exactly what I want to hear. I know where everything should be, and if I, you know, if some timing is off, the note is off, anything, you know, I'm always, it's not like I need a second opinion. So I just had to learn how to use the software and stuff.
Sure.
So, but it's hard when you have like a microphone in your face, a microphone in your guitar, you can't move, because if you do, you're like moving away from the microphone. So, and also, like, even though I know how to do the editing and the recording and setting up the tracks, I'm not a big engineer myself. So Jim is really good at that stuff. So he'd be over here, actually right where I'm sitting. He's like, okay, press record. It's like, okay, take one, here we go. And then we would, you know, he was doing some of it and I was doing some of it. And it was easy once you were into it, but while you're trying to press the buttons and, you know, oh, did I move? Oh, maybe we got to take that one again because I might have moved. Oh, I touched the guitar. At one time, I realized that I used to wear a ring on my thumb, and that I was hearing this kick, and I didn't know what it was. And finally, I realized every time I played, my ring was hitting the thing, and you could hear it
Oh,
all over
wow.
the recording. So I was like, okay, tomorrow we'll do another take of everything with no ring.
All right, Aaron, you had a wonderful tour through the US and into the UK and the Isle of Man at the end of 2025. Any big tour plans for 2026?
Yes, well, we've started going to Spain, so this will be our third Spain tour for the month of April. And then in the summer, we're going to just be touring around the US.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, Aaron, most important part of this interview right here, where can we send people to learn more about you, maybe pick up some CDs or merch, or book you for a gig in 2026?
All right. Please do. My website is erinharp.com, and that is Erinharpe, silent e.com. And that's where you can get everything from the CDs and downloads to the new book of tablature and lyrics for the new album.
Lots available, and we will make sure to put the links in the information section of this episode as well. Aaron Harp, I cannot thank you enough for your time today. I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for joining me on Time Signatures. Love the opportunity to talk to you. Safe travels and all the best to you.
Thanks so much for having me, Irv. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, indeed. Well, that wraps up this edition of Time Signatures. Once again, my thanks to our guest, Aaron Harp, but also to you, for without you, none of this would be possible. Jim Irvin reminding you, keeping the blues alive is everyone's responsibility, but preserving the history of the blues, one story at a time, that's my mission. Until next time, so long, everybody.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on cabs, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.